Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Blessings of Liberty is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We do appreciate the opportunity to be on the radio and to be able to come this way each and every week with the message of liberty. Liberty is the Lord's idea. It originates from Him. It comes from God, God Almighty. And a lot of times we think of it as being an American thing, but it originated with the Lord. And so we've never run out of material in all these years of bringing a message or a subject, dealing with the subject each and every week on the subject of liberty. So it's good to be here today. We want to take a moment and let you know if you are in the listening area, we'd love for you to visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, just a few miles outside of the Boone City limits. And so it's good to be here today. It's good to have Noah working with us and working the board over there and doing everything on that side. Noah, are you all right today? Good to see you.
I'm all right. It's good to be here this morning. Good to see you. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on 89.1 KPGT The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners. And what I want to do first of all today, I want to give an update about, it was April the 29th. So just about 6 weeks ago, something like that, we did a radio broadcast on the subject of the First Amendment. And we talked about racism in that broadcast. And that is probably one of the most controversial broadcasts that I've ever done. We received some good feedback and we received some negative feedback from that radio broadcast. But in it, I talked about racism among lyrics in rap music. And some of you may remember us talking about that. But I found an article today in the Philadelphia, this was in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, CBS local news. There's a news story, and it says this: Grammy award-winning producer takes on urban radio demanding end to vulgar lyrics. And so having just dealt with that subject, I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I read it, and I'm going to share the short article with you. Today, it says, Philadelphia is home to a rapidly growing grassroots movement to tackle vulgar lyrics in hip-hop music. A Grammy Award-winning songwriter is leading the effort, starting with urban radio stations right here in Philadelphia. Philadelphia-bred producer Carvin Hagens began his career as a hip-hop artist and then worked in urban radio. Mentored by DJ Jazzy Jeff, he's collaborated with superstars like Will Smith and Justin Timberlake. But as an artist, father, and citizen, he says he feels compelled to speak out against the lyrics broadcast over the air on local urban radio. He believes these lyrics are having a negative impact on the African American community. It's degrading. It's disrespectful. It's misogyny, Hagens said. It promotes gun violence. It promotes drug abuse. It promotes suicide. And our kids are listening to this 24 hours a day. So Hagens took action, launching a website, www.rageagainsttheratchet.com, calling out Philadelphia's urban radio stations for playing risque lyrics. Radio is the gatekeeper. They are the ones that bring the music directly to the people, says Hagens. If they promote it long enough, if they play it long enough, people will take it. They're going to have to change what they're giving or go out of business. Over the past few weeks, Hagens started an online petition and now they're taking their protest to the streets. We protested in front of Power 99 this weekend, and we are extending this protest to every radio station in Philadelphia, and we're going to every urban radio station in the U.S., says Hagans. I need them to be more responsible. Hagans acknowledges that urban radio stations mute curse words and most vulgar language, but says when the lyrics themselves are vulgar, the message still seeps through. For example, in Beyoncé's song Partition, and he gives a line out of that song, and I'm not going to read it because it's vulgar itself, but he says, really? You don't think kids know what that means? This is black music right now, urban music. Parents, young people, and many from the public have come out to protest and are logging on to support Hagans' message, and he expects more will join in. I've got a lot of feedback from the kids who want the music to change, parents who want the music to change, he says. So far, Hagans says he has met with or is scheduling meeting with programming directors for several urban stations in Philadelphia. And as I read that, I thought, now that is a good thing. I appreciate the efforts of those that will try to change society for the better. So I wanted to share that with you today. And so we wish them all success in what they're trying to do, because if you know anything about the lyrics of hip-hop, rap music, it's just exactly what he said it is. And so I thought that was interesting, and right along with what we were talking about just a few short weeks ago. But today I want to continue our study on the Bill of Rights, and we're looking at the Third and the Fourth Amendments. Really, today we're going to get specifically into the Fourth Amendment, but both the Third and the Fourth Amendment has to do with our sacred space called home or our house. So the Third Amendment says this, and we've been studying the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. First has to do with freedom of speech. Second has to do with the right to keep and bear arms. The Third Amendment, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. So that has to do with your home, your house. The Fourth Amendment is a little bit longer. It says this, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And so both the Third and the Fourth Amendment has to do with the privacy and the sacredness of a man's home or a woman's home, her house, her apartment, the place they're living at. That is what the Second and the Third Amendment has to do with. Now, English common law for centuries before America even came into existence stated that an Englishman's home is his castle. And the thinking behind that law was that the king in his home or in his castle, he would be safe in his castle, and that the basic right of all men would be secure in their homes as well, whether that home was brick or wood or tent. It wouldn't matter what it was. And so the Bible also teaches the sacredness and the security of the home. Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 2. The Bible says over there, if a thief be found breaking up, this is talking about someone coming into your house and breaking in, or burglarly. It's talking about if somebody breaks in, is what that's talking about. It said, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse number 10. So back in Exodus 22 and 2, it's saying if somebody breaks into your home, then if they're killed in the process, there's going to be no prosecution because of that. It's talking about the sacredness of the home. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 10. This is an interesting passage of scripture. Now in the book of Deuteronomy, it is the stating of the law, or the restating of the law is what you have in the book of Deuteronomy. And so over there, it's talking about the relationship among the children of Israel, the laws which they would live by. And Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 10 says, when thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Now, what this is talking about in Deuteronomy chapter number 24, it's talking about you have made someone a loan, or you have let somebody borrow something of yours. So that means that your property is in his house. It is your property. There's no question about it. Your property is in the house of another person. You let them borrow, say it's a hammer, say it's a saw, say it's $50, whatever it is, but you let them borrow it. Your property is in their house. The Bible teaches that you may not go into that person's house to get your property. This is what the Bible teaches. Verse number 11, here's what the person had to do. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. So let's say you get there, you're supposed to meet at 5:30, and they're not there. You know that what you let them borrow is in their house. Well, you're just going to have to wait till they get home. And when they get home, then they go into their house, they get your property, and they bring it out unto thee. The Bible teaches the same principle, the sacredness of the home. And so in the Bible, now there are examples to the contrary. There are examples of tyranny. There's examples of breaking in. There's examples of searching and seizing without proper authority in the Bible and in history. And when in the Bible and in history you find personal property violated, what you have is tyranny. Now, you can read and study church history. You'll find many, many examples of Christians being persecuted for their faith, their property being seized, they being put in prison, being burned at the stake. There's millions of examples down through history, and many times it's because somebody was accused of being a Christian. The officials would go to that house and they would search the house and say they find a Bible or they find a portion of Scripture, and so that person would be condemned and many times put to death in a horrible way. You study the history of Europe, and you will find during the reigns of Lenin and Mussolini and Adolf Hitler and on we could go, you find tyrants, and they used this power to search and to seize unlawfully. I believe every Christian ought to read The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And if you read that book, we studied that a few years ago during our adult class at Vacation Bible School, and you see how that they had to hide the Jewish people from the German soldiers and how they had a room. And it's just an amazing story, but it illustrates what happens when the government just has the authority to come in on a whim and tear your house all to pieces, much death, much destruction as a result of that. And you even find examples of that in American history as well. And so our forefathers wanted to be sure that these things did not happen again. But all of these, wherever you find that, you find tyranny. Now, what we're going to do, with the remainder of the time, I want to take the Fourth Amendment and just break it down word by word or phrase by phrase and point out some things as we go. The Fourth Amendment in the Bill of Rights, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. So first of all, the right of the people to be secure in their persons. Now that is what is on my individual person, on my body, my pockets. If you are a lady and you carry a purse, it's your purse. It's a man's wallet. It's my coat pockets. If I am out riding on a horse and the horse has saddlebags, now that's what you would run into in the days of the American Revolutionary War in the late 1700s. You'd run into a man going to town and he's got his family in his wagon. That is in his persons. Today, you're talking about a person's car, and it's been proved in court cases many different times that your car is your personal space. What is in your trunk? What is in your glove compartment? What is in your console? The interior of your car is recognized as being your personal space. You have a right to be secure in your personal space. So the right of the people to be secure in their persons, in their houses. Your house, according to the Bible, according to law, according to the Bill of Rights, is a sacred place. You ought to be able to have privacy in your home, in your apartment, where you are living. That is your personal space, your persons, your houses, your papers. Now, papers today, you know, you'd think that computers would do away with the need for so much paper, but here in the radio station, I quickly look around and there's paper all over the place. Papers we still use today. We record information on paper. But not only do we record information on paper, we have much digital information, but that is what you record information on. And that doesn't matter whether that's a notepad or an iPad or a smartphone or a day planner or a computer hard drive, whatever it is that you would store your personal information upon, you have a right to be secure in your papers. You have a right to be secure in your cell phone. My contact list in my cell phone, my goodness, if I went through that, there's over 100 names. Some people I've met one time. I really don't know anything about them, but I had a need to get their number for whatever reason that might be. And so we're associated. We have a lot of personal information on our cell phones, in our papers. You have a right, according to the Bill of Rights, to be secure in your papers. And then it says, and effects. Now, you look up the word effects in an 1828 dictionary, and it says in the plural, not an effect, but our effects. That's the word effect with a S on the end of it. In the plural, effects are goods, movables, personal estate. So that's just talking about my things. My things, your things, are personal property. They belong to you. You have a right to be secure in your things, your backpack, your home, your desk drawers, your bookshelves. All of these things are your effects, your movable goods, your personal property. And so the Fourth Amendment is very specific. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Now look what it says. Against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. So what is it saying? The right of the people to be secure in their stuff. Let's say it like this, in their private property. Against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Now that word violated, we use the word violate when we're talking about criminal activity. It says shall not be violated. It's a word that's used in conjunction with criminal activity. Have you ever seen a sign? Violators will be prosecuted. Whatever it is telling you not to do, if you do that, you have violated, you have broken the law, you are a criminal, and you will be prosecuted. Or we might talk about somebody committing a violation of the law. That means they have broken the law. That's what the word violated means. So the Bill of Rights in the Fourth Amendment makes the government be involved in criminal activity when they begin to violate these rights to personal privacy. And so there's been a big uproar in the past year or so about government spying, about illegal searches and seizures and NSA and phone taps and all kinds of things like this. Why would any government want to invade your personal privacy to the point that it is being violated today in America? I want to read just a short portion from an article. This is from almost a year ago, July 2013, and it's by Mr. Brandon Smith. And the title to the article is America's Surveillance Culture. Listen to these words and think about this. Why would any government want to track us, listen to us, follow our emails? Why? He says this, surveillance is the act of removing transparency from one person while operating under a veil of secrecy yourself. Surveillance is a one-sided exploitation of cultural violence, like a street mugging backed by ideological rationalizations. To be able to invade the life of another human being at will, to catalog his hopes, dreams, and weaknesses, to put yourself in a position to judge him from a discreet distance or undermine his future entirely, this is what surveillance is truly about. Make no mistake, mass surveillance is not about safety. It's about power. It is a means of enslavement. When a government chooses to assume the role of watcher and godlike arbiter in the affairs of the citizenry, there is always a specific motivation, and that motivation is usually self-preservation. Government elites spy on the public because they have done or are about to do things that will trigger resentment and rebellion within the population. They keep tabs on us because they fear what we will eventually do to them. They watch us because they plan to hurt us, and they want to be sure they get away with it. There are no other reasons for random, sweeping infringements of the public's right to privacy. There is no other rationale for treating every person as a threat without warrant, without legitimate judicial oversight, and without probable cause. Only criminal governments desire the legal authority to remove the barriers of personal privacy, because only they have something to gain through the action. America as a society is at perhaps the most dangerous crossroads faced by any nation in history. We must decide right here, right now, if we're going to embrace absolute government intrusion on a technological level never before seen by man, or if we're going to fully revolt against it. Now, some people might suggest that there is a line that will not be crossed, that the establishment will respect certain boundaries, and that the surveillance apparatus we have now will be the apparatus that stands forever. I'm here to tell those people that they have no idea what they're talking about. Take a good look at any government in modern history that has been allowed the kind of surveillance powers our government is currently demanding. Did Soviet Russia respect any particular boundaries dealing with individual liberty? Did the East German Stasi ever draw a moral line in the sand when it came to their suffocating network of informants and eavesdroppers? Did Mao Zedong's China choose to simply observe political dissidents without using those observations to destroy them? The surveillance machine only moves forward. It never stands still, not for anyone or anything. The recent exposure to the general public of National Security Agency mass phone tracking and tapping programs have caused a groundswell awakening. What we in the Liberty Movement already knew years ago has finally struck the lackadaisical senses of the mainstream like a bucket of ice water. However, as terrible and bewildering as the surveillance grid is today, it is nothing compared to what lies ahead if we allow the establishment even one foothold tomorrow. And he goes on and he gives examples of the way the government tracks and invades our privacy. He talks about RFID chips, radio frequency, little chips about the size of a grain of rice or even smaller that can be implanted into anything or anybody that can track people's movements. These are not science fiction. This is reality. He talks about drones. Even right now in North Carolina, there's been legislation talking about the drone industry. And these things are used for surveillance. They're used for spying and listening and taking pictures as well as other things. I do realize that. And he talks about the internet, and he talks about appliances in your home, TVs that watch you while you watch them. He talks about this continually being connected to the internet. He talks about many other things. He talks about doctors being a spy. And we've already seen examples of this in our society. It's partly our own faults because a lot of Americans have this attitude. Well, what does it matter? I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, it matters because it's a matter of principle. It is the difference between being a citizen or treated like a citizen or a subject. It is the difference between being treated like a free person or a slave. Well, people say, what about criminals? What about terrorists? Surely they have no right to privacy. Well, there's a provision in the Fourth Amendment. It said, no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. So the government, law enforcement, can get a warrant to search, to seize, but it is only upon probable cause. There has to be probable cause. We don't have time to explain all that. It must be supported by oath or affirmation. Somebody is going to have to put their reputation on the line in order to get a judge to issue a warrant to invade somebody's privacy because it's such a serious thing. And the warrant is particularly describing, there's three things, the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So it's very, very specific. All of these are safeguards to a free society where liberty and freedom exist. It's safeguard. It's a safeguard. We ought to diligently guard our liberties. Well, did you know the Bible teaches that there will come a day where there will be a loss of privacy and individual freedom? It's talking about the reign of the Antichrist. And it says in Revelation 13 and verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Well, what the Bible prophesies, the technology is in place today to make it come to be. It ought to cause us to wake up and say, what is going on in the world? Well, we hope you know. We trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. We're going to let Noah come and give the contact information. We do appreciate you listening in today. We hope you have a great day and you'll tune in next week. God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. 9-6. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.